Hey, Marmac family. This is Danielle Lofton from Marmac's Public Affairs Office, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the first episode of the official podcast for the leader of the ship repair industry, Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center. With this podcast, we're committed to showcasing the incredible work happening right here within Marmac. This will be our platform and our chance to highlight the innovation and expertise of you, the listeners, while also providing a unique opportunity to have candid conversations with leadership, with discussions ranging from the challenges and successes within our command. A lot of work went into getting this first episode out, and we truly hope you enjoy it. So with that, grab your headphones because you're listening to The Maintainer Podcast. The Navy Reserve Forces continue to be a vital partner in support of the Navy's wartime readiness mission. Earlier this year, from June 10th to the 21st, Reserve sailors integrated with Marmac personnel for a two-week deployment exercise. Public Affairs Specialist Harrison Cox talked with Reservist Captain Alex Lianos about his sailors who conducted cableway inspections aboard USS Bataan and the importance of these exercises.
My name is Captain Alex Lianos. We have a group of sailors right now performing cableway inspections here on the Bataan. So they're looking at all the electrical cableways. We're in living spaces right now, and they are looking for connections to junction boxes. They're inspecting grommets. They're looking through how the cables pass through the watertight compartments, just making sure they're up to spec.
Awesome. And if you could just talk to us about the integration of the reservist sailors here at Marmac.
Now, this is a great question. The target is to have our team integrate seamlessly with the Marmac active duty sailors and the civilian workers in the workforce. So what that means is our reservists are given specific shop assignments, and the expectation is that they are no different than any other member of that team. So ideally, we want to get to a point where you can't tell who is a reservist and who isn't. That's what I mean by seamless integration.
So I'm Stephen Jackson. I'm a electric nuke chief, currently the production chief over at Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center. Currently, we're on a small scale, right? We're integrating anywhere from 5 to 10 reservists into our 90-man production teams. Fairly small scale. I think this is in preparation of doing a much larger scale integration, but right now we're trying to find logistically where are we failing at, what are some things that we can improve on, getting these people into the work center and making sure that they are able to execute and do repairs as necessary.
And what is it like working with the reservists here at Marmac?
Everything seems fairly normal from a sailor standpoint, right? They're not much different than us, right? But The big thing I would say is, you have some people who have experience in what they're going to be working on and some people who don't, right? It's not much different than, a new sailor showing up to this command. However, with these reservists, they're here for 2 weeks, right? So we have to make sure that we have some sort of plan in place to train them and make sure that they have an expectation of what it's going to be like whenever, they get activated or if they get activated and placed in here permanently to fill a spot for active duty, like going out back on our deployable ship.
EM2 Zachary Olson.
And if you could just talk to me about, being a reservist stationed at Marmac and what you want to get personally out of this annual drill.
Yeah, Marmac's been great. My unit's been, we switched from Surge Main to Marmac a couple years ago, and getting all of our quals updated so that we can perform maintenance. It's great to finally, be on board and actually performing the work that we've been training for.
For our next story, Public Affairs Specialist Oscar Pope talks with MR3 Colson Cador, hailing from St. Patrick, Grenada. Cador is a shining example of dedication and precision within the U.S. Navy. With only 2 years of service under his belt, Cador is already making significant contributions to naval operations. His most recent accomplishment? The construction of a seawater service pump shaft for USS Stout, a task in which he tackled with meticulous attention to detail.
You can tell us a little bit about your background and experience that led you to work on the pump shaft.
For the project of the pump shaft, I had no knowledge of completing actual pump shaft. It was just like a last minute job. It was like, hey, we have a pump shaft to get complete. Do you want to do it? I was like, okay, sure. So at that moment, the most challenging part of that pump shaft was understanding the blueprint. One of the challenges that faced was the taper, cutting the taper, because they have a slight taper on it, and grinding all your tools, because sometimes you have inserts but cannot fit to the groove that way you want it to fit, so you have to cut your carbon high-speed steel to get it to fit.
And how do you collaborate with other team members or departments to ensure the success of the project?
Yeah, you had a lot of sitting down, going back and forth, making sure like certain calculation is right, or what they're asking for is actually doable on the blueprint, because they was asking for like 16th radius. So it's like, can it be done with the limited space? So this was a little challenge, but easy overcome.
So what do you hope the impact of this shaft project will be within the Navy and beyond?
If it's something that we could do frequently, then the job could be assigned to other people, more people getting experience in doing it, and then could save the Navy a lot of time, effort, and then instead of like ships being sitting waiting for our company to produce it, we could just produce it and get it out there to them.
And we understand that you're pursuing American citizenship.
Yes.
That's quite the feat. How do you balance that with the time of becoming a citizen? What it takes to become a citizen, balancing that and doing amazing work with shaft reproduction? How do you balance that time?
Well, time management is something that is you got to work on as an individual. You cannot tell someone, hey, this is how you need to balance your time. So you come in, you walk to a point where you need to reach, so you see your goal for the day, you finish it. Then you go home, you have a shower, relax, and then you focus on your other tasks at hand. So that, yep, studying for my citizenship, that would take me like half an hour. So it's just all about time management.
Before we move on to our next story, we have a quick message from our cybersecurity team.
Marmac family, do you know who the Command ISSM is? An important IG inspection is just around the corner, and starting soon, an on-site inspector will be walking the halls. He'll be checking for unattended CACs left in the computers, unapproved thumb drives or storage devices, and checking for unauthorized computers laying around. They may also ask if you know who the Marmac ISSM is, and if you didn't already know, that's me, Eric Hamm. Maintaining security is a team effort, so let's work together to decrease our cyber violations. You should never plug anything into your computer or docking station without checking with the ISSM or ISSOs first. Nor should you forward your work emails to your personal email account. Speaking of emails, let's talk about NMCI accounts. NMCI accounts are available for all personnel. To get yours, simply have your chain of command submit a SAR to the portal for processing. It's that easy. Remember, stay vigilant, stay informed, and let's keep Marmac secure. For any questions or concerns, you can contact me, the Command ISSM, Eric Hamm, or any of my Command ISSOs.
Next up, we're headed over to the office of Chaplain Tasha Arrington, the new and full-time Command Chaplain.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I'm Chaplain Arrington, and I am the new Command Chaplain here at Marmac. And what that really looks like is for the next 3 years, you have a chaplain that will be full-time, unlike part-time that we've had in the past. So
what made you want to become a chaplain?
Oh, my goodness. Life. Life did it. Actually, I don't even think when you answer the call, at least myself, you realize that you want to do something more. I was prior enlisted, and I knew that I had a love for the military, and I wanted to mix my love for the ministry with what I love being in the military, and so chaplaincy was a good fit for me.
So what can people expect when they walk through your doors?
Well, what they can expect is what they want to expect. So although I may be a Protestant chaplain, I am the chaplain for all denominations. Whatever denomination you may practice or not practice, it's my job to facilitate, care, advise, and assist you with getting the need met. So if that's spiritual, if that's as a holistic approach and you just want to talk, because we carry 100% confidentiality, the uniqueness is we don't have a chain of command to report to that you have to feel uneasy about if you share something. We absolutely cannot share anything.
So over the course of your chaplaincy, what are some common challenges or common issues that you see sailors facing?
Biggest challenge seems to be relationship. And that pretty much runs the gamut. It could be work relationships. It could be home relationships with their loved ones. It's just pretty much trying to balance work life and trying to be a normal person, which means, you know, I'm a sailor, I'm here, or I'm civilian, and I'm working. And I'm here trying to give it my all, but my mind may be somewhere else based on what's going on in my home and vice versa. And then sometimes they take work home and then the problems are reversed. So
why do you feel like it might be common or just possibly normal for a sailor to be struggling at some point in their career?
Because we are actually working in a very physically driven environment where it's body first and it takes a demand on our bodies, we tend to let our minds take a back seat and put off our thoughts. And you don't really know what you're dealing with until you get it out of your head. And we'll hold it in our heads and thinking, oh, I'm being tough, whatever it is, you know, I get it. We're trying to be warrior ready and all the things and tools we have in place. But a lot of times you need to take time and take self-care to get out of your head, because that is the playground for all the thoughts and the things that make you feel not normal or giving up hope. So, yeah, definitely need to sit with someone. I do.
Oh, do you? You have someone that you talk to?
Absolutely. Even as a chaplain, I have to have a coach, a mentor, a therapist, and my own pastor. So even chaplains have to have someone, because a lot of people ask that question, who's the chaplain have? And so we definitely have to get our counseling in. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're right. I think a lot of people do forget that therapists and counselors and chaplains, you know, you're human too. And we just don't realize that you also need someone to talk to. But I really do appreciate you just taking the time out to talk to me and answer these questions. And before we go, can you just let us know how we can get in contact with you, or just tell us what your office hours are?
I hate office hours. So I'm available 24/7, just so you know. I carry a duty phone, which is straight, this Marmac straight comes straight to me. I'm the only one when I hear it ringing. But other than that, if you want, because they have me spread between two buildings, I will be at CEP 200 predominantly during the week. And I try to be there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all day, or at least until the need is there. And then I'll come over to LF 18. But Tuesday and Thursday, because I'm forced to have hours, I'll be here at LF 18 at your disposal. So,
well, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
For our last segment, we have the first edition of the CEO's Corner. Public affairs specialist Harrison Cox sits down with Captain Jay Young to talk about his experience in the last 2 years with the command.
Okay, I'm here with our commanding officer, Captain Young. Sir, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for coming by the office.
Of course. So here we have some questions for you for our CEO's Corner. We're just going to start off with our very first question. What do you consider your most significant achievement is since taking command here at Marmac?
Well, first, before I answer the question, Harrison, thanks for giving me the opportunity to do a podcast with the command. This is my second podcast ever that I participate in, so hopefully I improve on that first one, which was virtual, so I like the face-to-face interaction better. So question is, what do I consider my most significant achievement since taking command at Marmac? First form that I see is delivering ships on time back to the fleet so the fleet commander can deploy those ships or utilize those ships in whatever means necessary to execute our Navy and our nation's mission. So just this fiscal year, so September or October 1st last year to today, we delivered Gonzales on time, Truxton early, Cole on time, Ross early, 14 days early at that, McFall early, 8 days early, Bataan Arg deployed on time last fall, Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group deployed on time last fall, Wasp Arg deployed on time this spring, and we're on track for Truman Strike Group to deploy on time. That takes a village to make that happen, and I look at that as on-time delivery. Technical assistance flowing to the ships, again, on time, when the ships need our onboard technical assistance, that they're going to the ships, whether it's in port, at sea, abroad, helping our crews with the sense of urgency to repair their equipment so they are up and operational to meet the mission. Intermediate level repairs, our code 900 shop, supporting ship's force, getting ships to sea as capable as possible, executing fire drills, safety walkthroughs, QA oversight in the ships, whether in a bail or not, keeping the personnel safe, all that comes together with on-time delivery.
Oh, that sounds awesome, sir. I know that Marmac has a very big portion of completing on-time delivery in the fleet, and I know that we do a very good job at it. And that actually goes into our second question here. Can you describe a particular project or initiative that has had a substantial positive impact on Marmac?
Absolutely. And it goes hand in hand with on-time delivery, but I would tell you it's not turning wrenches. It's the programs that we have put in place to take care of mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. We have put a lot of work into developing that program in supporting with our communities of practice. And I think our program, the way we have it now and where we're going to the future, focuses on the needs of our workforce. It really comes down to three areas. Mind, taking care of the mental fitness of our crew. We've developed or we've brought in deployability coordinators that focus on our sailors that are on limited duty or going through the med board process to help ease the stress and anxiety associated with that medical process. We have a military family life counselor, Dr. Cooper. We have two mental health counselors, Noelle and Flora, that are on the deck plates talking with our team, civilians, military, providing that mental fitness resource inside our lifelines. I think it's hard for somebody who needs that type of assistance to break away from the daily grind of delivering ships on time and going to get help. It's hard to get appointments. It's not convenient to drive down Hampton Boulevard to go to Fleet and Family Support and try and get that assistance. It's inside our lifelines, it's private, and it's available to anybody who needs it. From a body perspective, I think physical fitness is equally important to mental fitness and keeping that full body perspective. We have a gym right here in LF-18. I go to that gym every morning. I see sailors and civilians in that gym every morning working on that physical fitness. And we have a gym right close to CP-200. We incentivize performance on the PRT. If you're taking care of your body and you're working hard to that PRT and you do well on it, I'm going to give you some extra liberty for doing that. Fitness challenges command-wide, we just had one a month or so ago where we set the bar pretty high of how much cardiovascular work are we going to do in a week, and we made it. And there's incentive behind that. We do health and wellness programs on Main Street over in the break room at LF-18. Coming soon, we're working on our own medical officer. Still probably 5 months away. But I am very confident we're going to get our own medical officer inside our lifelines that's going to provide that medical staff support that we need. Not necessarily treating patients, but providing that same kind of counsel, whether it's to the individuals or to me as a CO or to the staff, on what we should be doing to take care of our folks physically from the body perspective. And finally, soul. We have our very own full-time chaplain in Chaplain Arrington. That is a big step. We've never had a chaplain full-time billeted to Marmac. We have that now. Just like our ships have chaplains on board that provide that resource to their crews, we have our chaplain on board that provides that counseling support that people need inside our lifelines. And all this is kind of wrapped up with our Human Factors Council, where our Human Factors Council brings in a tremendous amount of talent and expertise every other week, where we focus on the sailors that we have inside Marmac that have the greatest need and proactively push resources to them to help as much as possible. So that, I see, is a substantial positive impact on the command.
Yes, sir, I agree. And just me being here for only a year on the civilian side, I've definitely have seen the Mind, Body, and Soul initiative such a positive aspect, civilians and sailors. So going to our third question, what is the most rewarding aspect of leading Marmac, and can you share a moment that made you particularly proud?
Recognizing our sailors and civilians for the work they do. Great work happens every day. We focus on that here. We do weekly award ceremonies every Wednesday, 7:30 to 8, alternating between CEP-200 and LF-18. One, we have so many people doing great work. We have that many people that are receiving awards. So we have to do those. Otherwise, we lose track of it and they're time late. Mm-hmm. So we do those every week on purpose. Rarely do we miss one. So that's a perfect opportunity to recognize people with formal awards, end of tour awards, NAMPs, letters of appreciation, many different opportunities. The public affairs articles, Harrison, that you and your public affairs team do, I think that is a awesome way to recognize our folks, not necessarily an award per se that you can put and hang on the wall, but writing a public affairs article that documents a win, ship delivers on time, sailor creates this new product, whatever it may be. It puts that word out into the public spectrum, whether it's social media or formally with a press release. It identifies the person, in many cases, who did the great work. It identifies their chain of command or their supporting elements who did the great work. And they get to see their name in print. That's an award. Their families get to see that in print. It gets shared through social media. I think that is tremendously rewarding to have those types of releases go out into the public spectrum, showing what we do. I think the people love it. And coins. Right? I carry 2 coins minimum on me at all times. If I see someone doing great work or I talk to somebody who tells me about something they did, I like nothing more than pull a coin out of my pocket and give someone a coin on the spot. I get tremendous joy out of it, and I think our crew appreciates it too. You asked for a specific moment that made me proud. There's so many I can think of top of my head. Last summer, every Thursday morning I spend a couple hours in CEP 200. We do the production brief, and then I visit various shops on the production floor, just seeing what our team's doing. And MR2 Walters was working on machining a Baxter bolt, and he was kind of mid-machine on this, and I asked him, I said, how long is this going to take you? He said, I think I can get this done in 24 hours. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to come back here tomorrow by noon. I'm going to see where you're at with the project. I cheated a little bit. I didn't come back at noon the next day. I came back about 9 o'clock in the morning. Went back to the machine shop, found MR2. He had the Baxter bolt complete, all done. And not only did it finish the one Baxter bolt, he did 2 more that time frame. So he took the challenge of finishing the one in 24 hours, and he did it 300% and gave me 3. To see a sailor working with that sense of urgency and delivering product to the fleet, truly awesome. And I love that story, and giving him a shout out right now.
That is amazing. Yeah, I'm very sure that MR2 would appreciate that shout out. So are there any messages to the command or anything you would like the command to know?
Harrison, I would say I cannot think of a better command or a better mission than what we have here at Marmec. My message to the team would be keep charging with a sense of urgency. If you encounter barriers that are preventing you from achieving your goals or our collective goals of on-time delivery, find a way to overcome those barriers. If you need help overcoming those barriers, ask for help. The chain of command, the resources that we have here are here to help break down those barriers so we can deliver on time. And last thing I'll leave you with is ship repair is both a sprint and a marathon. We see it every day. I'm running right alongside you to finish across that finish line on time.
This first episode was truly a reflection of the award-winning team here at Marmec and a testament to the incredible teamwork that goes into supporting the fleet. Thank you for joining us, and don't wait for the next episode to hear more stories from around the command. Stay connected and follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn by searching for Mid-Atlantic Regional Maintenance Center, or subscribe to our news page on SharePoint and read about our monthly sailor and civilian in the spotlights. Until next time, take care.